Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, coming up in the final hour at 1 o'clock, Dave Dombrowski, longtime general manager in Major League Baseball, was last stop was with the Boston Red Sox. He was the president and CEO. He is going to be heading to Nashville to live here, and we're going to tell you why and who he's going to be working with at 1 o'clock today. So be listening to that. He's a longtime general manager for the Tigers and the Marlins, and like I said, last stop with the Red Sox. But right now we head to the nation's capital. We head to Washington. We're bringing Matt Paris, who covers a lot of teams, including the Redskins for the Washington Times, and he is on the line with us. Matt, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. We talked yesterday some on the show about kind of what's going on in your market right now, and it's a story that's not new. It's a story we've been talking about for a long time, and we're in Nashville. I can only imagine, you know, what it's been like in the D.C. area, that market. But it looks like the Redskins are probably on their way to changing their nickname. I guess just get us caught up to speed on where it's at today and, you know, what is the gut feeling? Do you think that Redskins is going away?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely appears that way. The team announced last Friday that they're going to conduct a thorough review of their name, but that comes off a bunch of pressure from corporate sponsors. FedEx said it had asked the Redskins to change their name, and that's particularly significant because they play at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, and FedEx's CEO is part of the Redskins ownership group. So, you know, they face a lot of pressure in this moment with everything that's happened related to George Floyd. And even though Dan Snyder said in 2013 that he would never change the name, it seems like he's ready to back off those remarks now. And it definitely appears headed that way.
Money talks, doesn't it? Especially hundreds of millions of dollars on the line.
Yeah.
What is the latest with what we're hearing about some of the minority owners, which I guess comprise of about 40% of the ownership group? What can you tell us on that front?
Yeah, they've hired an investment banking firm to try and find buyers for their shares. So, you know, part of that group includes Fred Smith, who is the CEO of FedEx. He wants out, and the Washington Post reported that, you know, they are unhappy working with Dan Snyder. So, you know, you think of everything that's kind of happened, it's not just necessarily the name. It's, you know, the Redskins have had losing seasons for years now. They have had attendance issues with the stadium. They've had trouble finding a new stadium. And so everything that's kind of collectively gone on, I think, has added to the moment. But then, too, you're facing a name controversy and everything that has happened. It is surprising that they won out because of just how long they've worked with Snyder. They purchased their stakes in 2003. So, you know, it is coming at a time where the franchise faces a lot of unrest, but yeah, they've hired an investment firm and they're trying to find buyers for their shares.
It's easy for us, Matt, to sit here in Nashville and poke fun of Daniel Snyder. We've done it for years. Just don't think he's a very good owner. He's one of the worst owners in sports, in our opinion. Like I said, that's from afar. But what do people think of him in that market?
I mean, generally the same things you just said. He's not the most popular. Like, you know, the name itself is pretty, you know, you'll find fans that are really passionate about the name and want it to stay. But if Dan Snyder said he was ever going to sell, it would be, you know, the most, there'd be parties and stuff for just, you know, how happy they would be that he would be gone. You know, they're definitely frustrated with him, kind of his decision-making in terms of how long he chooses to keep people around. I mean, he fired Bruce Allen after the season, but that was after years of fans wanting him out of there. So, you know, it's definitely not the greatest relationship, to put it lightly.
Talking to Matthew Paris, he's the Redskins beat reporter for the Washington Times, and we're talking about the nickname of the Washington Redskins and what is next in this process here. So, Matthew, it looks like some big, big name corporations have stopped selling the merchandise in their stores, and so that looks like another step towards this inevitable conclusion. It looks like they're on a pathway. He's going to have no choice, as much as Dan Snyder has said in the past, this will never happen.
Yeah, and Ron Rivera, the important thing to remember about this is that Ron Rivera has said that, you know, it would be awesome if the Redskins reached a new name before the start of training camp, before the start of the season. So, and you know, that's in 2 months. So is it possible that the Redskins pick a new name by then? Sure, but I think the actual process of changing everything is going to take a lot longer than that, because, you know, you have to go through the lawyers and you have to design the new logo itself. You have to design new uniforms, even if they keep the same color scheme. You know, I think this is a process that's going to drag on for quite a while, even if they want to move on quickly as possible.
That's a good point, because as I understand it, and I think this is true of most sports, if you want to just make a tweak in your uniform of any kind, forget about changing the name, but just making a uniform change, there's like a year-long process you have to go through, right? It's just normal protocol.
Yeah, right. And maybe the NFL helps them out on this situation, given all the pressure. But, you know, they're even like in terms of their contracts with sponsors, you know, all that paperwork says Redskins. And so they'd have to, you know, change that. And they'd have to kind of just send so many updates. And that takes time.
Is there any indication, because I think realistically what we're talking about here is they would have to announce that in a year, you know, there would be a new look, et cetera. But do you see the players getting involved in this at all and saying if it's not changed, we're not playing, anything like that?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think it kind of comes to the territory of when you are drafted by the Redskins, they, you know, players just kind of know not to touch on the issue. We've seen some players voice their opinions, like quarterback Dwayne Haskins said that he was a fan of the Red Tails, which is a name that some fans have floated of what it could be changed to. You know, I think some players might give their suggestions on what they think the next name should be, but I don't see anyone necessarily sitting out because of the name itself.
Matthew, we have plenty of experience with suggested nicknames. If you recall, the Oilers changed to the Titans, and it was a year-long contest on shows like ours, people calling in. I have a suggestion. I mean, if we had a dime for everybody that called in with a different suggestion. But I do wonder if Red Tails does have any momentum, because it does flow pretty well. So what's your thought on that?
Yeah, it's definitely a nice name. I mean, Rivera has said that for a name going forward that they want to honor their Native American roots, and then also be respectful towards the military, or have a tribute to the military. So I think it kind of fits both of those specifically, because of Native American members being part of the Red Tails unit, which in the military. So, you know, it is a popular one. Another name that is more generic than that, which has also been kind of popular here locally anyways, the Warriors. I mean, I don't know how people feel about that with the Golden State Warriors already existing, but, you know, it kind of fits both of those. Hey, we need to be respectful towards Native Americans, and then also be a tribute to the military. I think Warriors would fit that as well.
Matthew Paris is with us from the Washington Times. And going back to the players for a second, not necessarily them suggesting names, but just the overall, I guess, relationship feel that the players have with Dan Snyder, with the organization. What is kind of the vibe you get sometimes from the players?
It's a bit mixed, you know. They have been complimentary. You look at a guy like Trent Williams, who was traded to San Francisco this offseason. You know, he had a huge issue with the medical staff and the last team's front office, but he was pretty complimentary of Snyder. You know, he went through a medical issue where he had a, you know, cancer on his scalp that had to be removed. And he said that Dan Snyder was pretty, like, great about giving him the team plane and, like, making sure that help was there for him. So he was really complimentary about Snyder. So some players are mixed, and then there have been others that have been, you know, just in terms of not being as welcoming or, you know, don't have glowing things to say about the organization itself.
Just from a football sense, Ron Rivera, obviously, he took the Panthers to the Super Bowl, didn't win, but he's had a lot of success in his career coming in there as the head coach. Is there a sense of optimism that, you know, knowing the other issues that the Redskins have had, that, you know, he might be the guy to turn this around after a very long time of not having a lot of success there in Washington?
Yeah, I mean, you look at everything that he's done so far, and, you know, it has gotten some people here optimistic that, you know, fans are feeling good about just kind of the steps they've made. They haven't really made anything big, like, splashy, but they've, you know, restocked the depth. They, you know, culture is the buzzword with every NFL coach, but that's especially true with Rivera. And they really have, like, I think the major difference here is that they've really wanted to have a coach-centered approach. That's kind of a talking line used over and over again. And, you know, Rivera definitely seems like the type of guy that has put that forward, and it's stretching him to other ways he didn't really have experience in Carolina. Like, this whole thing with the name, you know, Rivera is talking to Snyder pretty regularly about possible name changes, and he was also active in, you know, crafting like what the team's response was going to be to the Black Lives Matter movement. And so he's been involved in areas that he really hasn't been before, but I think the way he's handled that has impressed people as well.
I would assume the assumption is Dwayne Haskins is a starter, but obviously Rivera knows Kyle Allen that was acquired in the offseason. But is it safe to say this is Dwayne Haskins' team now, and they're going to put all their eggs in his basket?
Yeah. It's his job to lose. I mean, how they've treated Dwayne Haskins this offseason, it's really been about a series of tests. So when Rivera was first hired, he didn't come out and say glowing things about him. He wanted him to kind of prove that he would be the type of guy that would come in the facility or do the things necessarily. Like, Rivera has kind of just challenged him subtly and even directly throughout the offseason, and they've really liked the way that Haskins has responded. So, yeah, he's going to get every opportunity to be the starting quarterback, and unless something really goes wrong with his play, it's his job.
What is your – I know you cover the Redskins, but what is your sense on the other sports, the Nationals trying to defend their World Series title, the other sports getting going, and, you know, is there optimism in your market that they're once they start, they'll actually get to finish?
I mean, that definitely remains to be seen. I mean, a lot, some of the players here have been skeptical about that. I mean, Sean Doolittle, he's a closer for the Nationals, and he you know, the Nationals shut down their – facility on Monday because they hadn't received the test yet for the coronavirus. So, or they hadn't received the results from the coronavirus test. So, you know, everything is still a work in progress. They are practicing today. Things are back, kind of back to as normal as can be, but, you know, it's still like, just, they want to see play happen first and see how it all goes. But people are maybe cautiously optimistic, but I don't know if, you know, you can say that they're for certain that they're confident that the season is going to finish.
I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but why are the Wizards going to Orlando?
You know,
what's the point?
I mean, that's, well, yeah, I mean, you know, I guess maybe just the extra money for the league of having 22 teams instead of 20. I mean, that's really only what you can say at this point, because today Bradley Beal announced that he was out with a shoulder injury. And,
right,
you know, that came as a surprise to even the beat guys, because he had like leg problems earlier in the year, but nothing about a shoulder that was revealed publicly. So, you know, even if the injury is legitimate, you know, their playoff chances now are pretty much, I mean, they're nothing. I mean, they're 5.5 games back from the 8th seed. Even if they climb to, you know, they have to get 4 games to force a play-in tournament, that seems so much harder without Beal. And their second lead scorer, Davis Bertans, is not playing in Orlando either. So, you know, I mean, if you have nothing else in the afternoon to do and they're watching League Pass, maybe turn on the Wizards. But I don't think many people will be watching this.
Matt, we appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. Continue to be safe in Washington.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Matt Paris with the Washington Times covers the Redskins. And, yeah, Bradley Beal is out for the Wizards. They already had a huge mountain to climb and no Bradley Beal. Yeah, I'm not sure why they're going to the NBA bubble. We will come back. We're going to revisit something we brought up in the first hour, a comparison, something that Chase and Marquise brought up in the 9 o'clock hour in the rundown. But we'll talk about it on the other side. So kind of put your thinking cap on if you can remember what Chase threw out there about Patrick Mahomes and today's athlete in any sport. We'll discuss on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. For that one person out there listening, not named Marquise, this is for you. Spencer Dinwiddie will not play for the Brooklyn Nets. He is not going to Orlando. Spencer Dinwiddie. So that person out there listening to the show, not named Marquise Munson, that info was for you. Now, I threw this out there going into the break, and this is something that Mike Greenberg from ESPN and Get Up put out on Twitter last night. Is there a young star in any sport you would bet on for the next 10 years ahead of Patrick Mahomes? That is the question. Now, I would like for us to just talk about pure talent, like everything that they bring, franchise changer, face of a franchise, winning, all that. I'd really not like to get into who's the next person to sign a $500 million contract. That's right. Really not the way I look at it. I'm thinking more along the lines of his tweet is geared toward, tell us some other Patrick Mahomes in any sport right now that you
that
would
you commit to. But yeah. But we don't necessarily have to talk dollar figures. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a hard question. I mean, Marquise and I debated it a little bit this morning on the rundown.
Now, Mahomes is 24. Mm-hmm. Now, the first person that I thought of, and you guys, I don't know how you feel about this, the first person I thought of was Connor McDavid.
Okay, so interesting. You went hockey.
I think that's a pretty good one.
I would bet the next 10 years on Connor McDavid.
Now, you're not necessarily saying better than Patrick Mahomes or just somebody that you would bet on?
Well, just comparable. You're going to take your chance. Like, obviously, here's the way I look at it. Like, there's nobody as accomplished at this age that we can – there's no comparable, right? If we're using comparables, there's no market comparable in any sport of a 24-year-old who has been a league MVP – and has already won a championship and has already set the world on fire in basically two seasons like Patrick Mahomes. True?
True.
Like we do not have that comparable. So there is no easy answer because there is nothing to compare to him right now. So the question is, who would you bet on for the next 10 years that could end up being exactly what Patrick Mahomes, as we talked about with Seren Petro in the first hour, to their franchise, the face of the franchise, you know, maybe the best player in the sport, eventually going to win a championship or championships, eventually is going to be a league MVP. So that was the first guy I thought of. Like, Connor McDavid is 23. And has he been an MVP? Has he won a Stanley Cup? Well, we know those answers, but I think it's pretty safe to say already at his age, you can see, I mean, he's good for 100 points a year already at this age. And I'd put my money on him. He is the face of the Edmonton Oilers. He's going to be the face. He's going to be the franchise. Could he be a league MVP? Yes. Could possibly they win the Stanley Cup? Well, sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, could. In the next 10 years, they could. So that was the first athlete that I thought of. Tell me what you guys think. Good comparison, bad comparison. What do you think?
Very good. I think that's an excellent comparison. I think, you know, barring anything just crazy, and, you know, he's already had an injury or two, right? But that's the X factor you can never foresee is what injuries could do. But, you know, the injuries so far have not slowed him down in the least in terms of his production. So it's just a matter, it's like LeBron in his early years or Michael Jordan in his early years. It's a matter of putting a championship team around him. And in a salary cap era, that's not as easy as maybe it once was. So I think that's the only X factor. But in terms of, is he going to produce? He is going to produce. He is going to dominate.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think you're off base. That's a good one. I think that's a very good one. One, a couple people are texting this name on the text line, and it's one we brought up this morning, but Zion Williamson.
You know, Zion Williamson came to mind for me, and I'll give you a similar one because he's a similar age, I think, and he's actually got even more of a track record than Zion does at the highest level. But I think Ronald Acuna Jr. is a guy I would take for the next 10 years.
That was my answer. I was actually getting there. That was my answer.
I think it's just a matter. All it's going to take for him is a little maturity, a little more wisdom, and staying on the right path there, because the talent, there's nothing that's going to stop him.
Yeah, that's one thing that concerns me a little bit.
The other sports, the first name that came to mind with basketball was without a doubt. And it's very early, but still. Just his body type, and obviously his body's got to hold up. Mm-hmm. But Zion Williamson is already the face in New Orleans. Is there going to be their franchise changer? And he could be the most dominant player like 2 years from now in the NBA. Could that happen?
But
yes.
Here's the one thing. We talked about this last week, Darren, and this is a good coming full circle. We talked with Chris Broussard. We had got into a conversation about a lot of things, but one guy that we had a category that kind of carried us for about an hour on the show, and we could have kept going. Would you have put Penny Hardaway in that category at one time? I absolutely would have. A year or two into his NBA career? Don't you think? Penny Hardaway would have been a guy I'd take for the next 10 years. When he went to the NBA Finals, he was averaging 20 points a game. He was an incredible distributor. Injuries can happen, right, to some of the greats. Derrick Rose was in that category. So we went into a whole category of guys who continued to play and played for a long time, but something derailed them to where even though they stayed in the league, they didn't disappear from the league. They just were never quite at that level anymore.
There's no way to predict.
It could happen to Patrick Mahomes, right?
Well, you can't
rule out anything.
Of course. We have no idea. We're just saying right now, you know, today, we have no idea how it's going to play out. I mean, look, rarely do they play out, right? That's why the people we're talking about, these are special, special, special talents. They go down as the all-time greats, right? I mean, you could have said this about Sidney Crosby when he was Connor McDavid's age, right? Like,
And you would have been right.
And that's what I was getting at. And you would have been right. But there's so many times that, you know, it doesn't play out that way, and you end up being wrong. So I'm just going on, hey, there's no way to know what the next 10 years hold. But let's talk about guys that I'll tell you this right now. And I told Chase this off the air. But Sunday when we got back, I was unpacking. The race was in a lightning delay or whatever. And I flipped over and found an E60 that was just starting. And it was on Ja Morant. And I had never seen it before. And I was glued to it. I watched. I had no idea of really his story. I would still put Zion Williamson one. But I think there's a real case you could put Ja Morant in that conversation as well.
Easily.
I would be willing to bet the next 10 years on Ja Morant. Like, he's going to change the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yep.
He already has in his rookie year.
That too.
Yeah,
this kid is different, man. This kid is different.
Yeah. I think, and I told Chase this earlier this morning, when it's all said and done, when Steph Curry, you know, is depleting and he's going to, you know, retire, I think the next big two point guards in the league is going to be Trae Young, maybe, or Luka Doncic, if you want to consider him a point guard, or Ja Morant. They're going to be top three point guards in the league. And they're going to be winning MVPs, especially Trae Young, because Trae Young is already like climbing up there with the Atlanta Hawks. But Ja Morant for sure is definitely going to be the face of Memphis for 10 years, I think.
So I would answer, and then of course, thinking about this question, I was like, I'm not even going to say it out loud because I know Chase too well. Like, I knew Acuna would be the first one, and it's the right answer. But I knew that would be the first one out of his mouth, without a doubt. And it's the right answer because I can't think of a better example in baseball
yeah.
right now.
Well, they've already committed to him for 8 years. So
I think in baseball, the position, and that's going to end up being a great bargain.
A steal for the Braves.
No question. But I think you look at position players, they're much more likely to make it long-term. Pitchers, let's just take another guy that we brought up last week in the Penny Hardaway conversation, was Dwight Gooden, right? Dwight Gooden at 19, 20, 21 was unbelievable. You absolutely would have said it. But we've learned, of course, there's a lot that can go wrong for pitchers in the long term with arm problems. And, of course, in the case of Dwight Gooden, it wasn't just arm problems. He had off-the-field issues, too, with substance abuse. But, quarterback is an interesting one, right? You think of Patrick Mahomes, the way he runs around, he is unique. He did have an injury last year. I just wonder what that looks like. We don't have a crystal ball, as you said. And in 5 years, I think he's probably smart enough, good enough to adjust his game. But his game is going to have to evolve. He's not always going to be able to run around, throw off the wrong foot, and throw these passes that we've never, ever seen before. Right? When he's 30 or 31, it's not going to be the same.
No, but that's what separates the greats. I mean, if guys that can adapt and evolve their game over time. So, I mean, and we don't know the answer to that right now. You're spot on. You make valid points, but we're going to see just how good he is. I mean, there are others that have lasted in whatever sport that they played because they have changed over time. So if he's able to do that, then I think that we're still having this conversation. So,
is anybody willing to put Austin Matthews on that list? He's even younger than Connor McDavid. Anybody willing to go there?
Yeah, Matthews is a little more like Ovechkin in that he is pure goal scorer, right? The rest of his game is a little different. McDavid is more of an all-around. I think he'll score the goals. There's no question. I think there's a little bit of a question on whether his team is going to win the whole thing, because I don't know that he's a penalty killer and 200-foot player, all of those things. But would I take him? If somebody said, hey, you got Austin Matthews, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, I'm not taking him. I mean, he's
right,
he's
but for the sake of this discussion.
Talent.
I'm talking about for the sake of this discussion. Is he on that
list? He wouldn't be. I wouldn't take him over McDavid.
Yeah, I wouldn't
sure,
either.
But I would.
But would he be next?
He'd probably be next. And he's certainly in the discussion.
And if he's not, then who's next? Who would be next on that list?
I don't know. So Greg says Jack Eichel on the right team. I don't say Jack Eichel.
I'd take Austin Matthews over Eichel.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Eichel has had a bad, bad team around him. You put him on a good team, I think you would. There's a lot to like about it. That's an interesting one. I'd love to ask some. Next time we talk to some hockey people, when we get Elliot back on.
Well, we have Greg today.
We have Greg Wyshynski on noon.
Well, okay, that's a good one for Greg. Eichel or Austin Matthews for the long term?
Okay.
The 10-year bet or the 10-year investment. That's a great question.
I would take Matthews, but that's just me.
I might, but it's close. I'd have to do a lot of consideration before I made my choice on that. I would consider Eichel.
I think Pat wants to weigh in. What you got, Pat?
Hey, guys. Probably going to get a little different of an answer than most people going to call in. I'm going to give you a soccer one. And it's a guy who's only 20 years old, and he's set the world on fire, Kylian Mbappe. He's already won the World Cup with his national team in France, and he's also won 2 league titles over in France. And soccer's a little bit different where kids are kind of more able to dominate, but I think we're already starting to see that more in basketball and football, where in soccer it's becoming a job for a lot of these kids at the age of 15 and up. And I think here in America we're starting to get more and more like that, where kids are – really focusing more sports on a job than more of a game. I'd like to get your guys' take.
Pat,
I would love the discussion.
Well, hold on one second, Pat, because you're going to need to help us about him. Tell us a little bit more about where is he playing. Oh, he hung up. I need more. I'm not going to pretend to know about this guy. I mean, I just don't.
I watched him in the World Cup final. I mean,
right? But I mean, where is he playing?
He did, but I don't know.
That's what I wanted to know. Like, where can we? Where is he playing? Where can we see him?
Yeah, because I don't know anything about him. I'm not even going to say I don't know much. I don't know anything.
Look, if you're that accomplished at 20, obviously you're special. There's no doubt about it. And that's why I wanted to learn a little bit more. Pat was much more of the soccer expert than us. I could just tell by the way he was talking. So I don't know. And he's right. We've seen that happen, right? Soccer, you can rise to the ranks at a very, very early age, right? I mean, there's guys that burst on the scene very, very young. And soccer allows you to do that a little bit more than some of the other sports, right? It's, you know, you're never going to see that in the NFL because, one, they can't even get there till usually they're 21 anyway. And the other sports, like the NBA, for the most part, it takes time, for the most part, I guess depending on your age. Zion Williamson is a prime example. How old is Zion? 20?
Yeah, well, Mbappe is only 21, so... And he's already got a World Cup under his belt. That's an interesting one. I mean, I obviously am not well-versed enough in the soccer world to really put it in perspective, but it's an interesting name to throw out there. And let's see, who's he playing for right now? He plays in La Liga, I guess?
Is this EPL? Where
Liga,
is,
Liga
La Liga
1?
Is its own league.
Premier? Where is he?
La Liga. That's a league.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Actually, yeah, he's in the French football.
Oh,
league.
He's in the French
league. League One, league. I don't know. My French is not good, even though my name is French.
Give it your best shot. Give us your best.
Well, it's league. You know, whatever French is for league. I don't know how you pronounce it. L-I-G-U-E One. It's a French professional league for, you know, it's the top French players. I mean, they won the World Cup, so it's obviously a great league.
Right, I know. I was just looking to have a little fun at your expense, and you spelled
league?
It out rather than say it.
League, probably, right? I think you just say league.
You just asked how old Zion was. Yesterday was his 20th birthday.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
and Carol Baskin wished him a happy birthday. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great. How's she doing?
Who knows? So the names we've mentioned in this conversation, Zion, Ronald Acuna, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews in the conversation, I guess.
Uh-huh. Ja Morant's in the conversation.
Ja Morant in the conversation.
Luca's got to be in the conversation.
Luca's in the conversation. There's another name that I'm a little surprised you guys haven't brought that we haven't brought up yet. I'll say all of us.
What's the sport?
Up. Baseball.
Baseball. See, Acuna was the first one that I'm trying to think. Somebody that so young has burst. Which league?
National.
Cody Bellinger?
Maybe in the conversation, but not the player that I'm thinking of. I know what you're going to say when I say the name, but I think that 10 years, even at his age, is still very doable. Mookie Betts.
Yeah, but Mookie's 27.
He's 27.
28 years old.
I know he's
28.
28. But
he's going to be 28 in a couple months.
Okay. I still say that he could play at a high level. Totally.
So you give him a Patrick Mahomes contract, 10 years.
Well, but it's interesting you say that because he is going to have that.
I know, but he's not going to. Do you think he's going to get a 10-year deal?
Well, that's if anybody's going to get it, it'll be him. But we know what the market is going to look like.
Trout's 28.
It's not going to be what it would have been.
Look at Trout's contract. Trout's 28.
Right, but he got that contract years ago.
I think he absolutely. Darren,
no, he didn't.
If it were not for this, what we're going through now, he absolutely would have gotten a 10-year deal.
Yeah. Well, he probably should have taken the $300 million by the Red Sox, considering knowing what we know now, right?
Yeah. I mean.
But that's high. I mean, there's no way, you know, there's no way of knowing that. We had a vote for Christian Yelich on Twitter.
He's 28. He's old. He's
older
than Mookie.
Yelich is older than Mookie.
Yeah, Trout's contract that he just signed will end when he's 38. So
yeah, he signed it 2 years ago, right?
No, I thought he just signed it like last year.
Remember, he had like a bridge deal for like 2 years, and then got the big one.
Yeah,
it was last March.
I still might take Mike Trout for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean,
he's
why
a little
can't
bit different.
Yeah, but I still would consider, and I'm, you know, no bias. I'm not.
No, you're not. No, you're not biased. No way. If there's one thing I know about you, you're not biased.
Oh, stop it.
All right, we will come back.
I said Acuna.
The first name that came out of your mouth.
I took those glasses off.
I
did.
Marquise, this is radio. Did you take those glasses off?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he did. He had perspective on everybody from other leagues, too. So, yeah. Okay. Then Acuna came up, and then we talked about how bad his contract was, so he shouldn't have signed it. Yeah, he shouldn't have signed that.
I mean, it's good.
It's good for the Braves.
It's great for the Braves. It's going to end up being a steal of a deal.
Yeah,
what is 8 years by $100 million? What's he making, about 12 a year?
12
and
a half.
Good, yeah.
And he'll by the time he's 22 now, I think he's a year into it, so he'll be 27, 28 when that deal's up. So again, we're in this conversation right now. He could get another long-term deal making a ton more money, and it probably won't be with the Braves by the time this deal's up.
Yeah, he's going to get two fat contracts.
Yeah.
You know, once again though, if everything plays out, we don't know.
Sure.
All right,
sure.
We will come back and wrap up the hour with Chris Lee. There's a story that's out there on the Vanderbilt side of things. The stories that have been coming out on Vanderbilt. We had Adam Sparks on here. I mean, it's not, you know, these stories are not good at all. And we're going to tell you what we're talking about to close out hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. As I said, going into the break, the Vanderbilt stories coming out here lately have not been great, and there's been another one come out today. And with that being said, back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, here on this Tuesday, we say hello and good morning to Chris Lee with VandySports.com. And Chris, this kind of took us back. Kind of sad news. It looks like from some of the things that you were putting out on Twitter this morning that Vanderbilt is apparently going to abolish its athletics communications office and put it within the university? Is that right?
That's what I have been told. Now, some of those people will get an opportunity to re-interview for positions, but they will fall under the university's umbrella, and it remains to be seen whether those people get hired back or not.
What is the thinking behind this? Help me understand a Power 5 conference, an SEC school that doesn't have – a media relations department evolving around all of their sports. How and now the university's going to run it? Like, what is the thinking behind that, in your opinion?
Well, let me give you a caveat. I'm probably knee deep in this story at this point. I've got more phone calls to make. I've got people who've reached out to me, I think even while I was on hold here with you guys, that I'm sure have got bits of the story that I don't have yet. But from what I was told this morning, and this came as a surprise to me, and it came as a surprise to the people who got let go over there too, sadly, but from what I understand, this move was in the works as far back as maybe a year ago. I think it had been talked about. It had been, I guess, advertised internally as a good move, although for reasons why I couldn't tell you. I don't know what would make this good, but From what I've gathered at this point, I'm sure COVID didn't help, right? Because we all know the world that has created and the economic issues. But from what I'm told, in a sense, this really was not COVID related because it was cooked up a long time ago. You know, my guess is it's just a sense for the university to keep control over athletics and the message as it likes to do. The university has been increasingly less transparent. The student paper has just had all kinds of difficulties getting basic answers out of its own university for a while now. I know that, you know, they've written about that. So I think this is part of a bigger trend of Vanderbilt attempting to control the message. And let's be honest, guys, when it's come to athletics, that message more often than not over the last year has not been good. I was thinking the other day, since they won the baseball title, which has been now, I guess, a year and a week ago, there's not been a whole lot of good news that's come out of Vanderbilt. So I guess this is my guess is this is a further attempt at just control and controlling the spin of all the stories that come out over there.
Chris Lee is with us. We're talking about the story he's working on with Vanderbilt and its communications department. Meanwhile, Nashville SC and the MLS has just reported that their game on Wednesday has been postponed. And so we'll get more details on that a little bit later in the show, but that has just come down in the last minute or two. Chris, I'm thinking back to 2003 when Gordon Gee came in and did his whole thing about, you know, the athletics department doesn't exist and they're the same as intramurals, and, you know, it was a PR nightmare for sure. This seems like a smaller version of that, and it actually had its positive side. Is there any chance this is like that? What does it really mean? Are they going to move offices? Or, I mean, obviously they're going to have something over there. I don't think this is good. I'm very, very concerned about what all this means, but I guess it's very early in the process to figure out exactly what it does mean.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am too. And I've talked to five or six people this morning, and somebody mentioned that to me. And of course, like you said, when you think of the story, the first thing you flash back to is the restructuring, which the announcement was botched, but it did at the time have some benefits for athletics, and it took some of the strings off them budgetarily. And before long, the school went into this period of success that it hadn't had in a while. Baseball got to be a factor on the national stage. Basketball started a run where it was basically a regular in the NCAA tournament before long, and a couple of Sweet 16s. Football went to a bowl game within a few years. I mean, look, I'm not predicting this has the same effect, right, because I'm with you. I think it's bad. But there is an unknown element of this. You know, is it going to benefit athletics in some way? I have a really hard time seeing that. But you can't think of this without thinking of that. And the odd thing about that is that it did have a lot of great things in store for Vanderbilt sports at the time. So I personally am skeptical in this case, but history is worth repeating in that case, at least, or at least worth telling that story again.
Well, I think the key point that comes to mind for me, Chris, is in 2003, Gordon Gee almost, I don't know if it was his plan all along, but when they got completely raked over the coals by the entire sports media, whether it was local or national, you know, he had to put up or shut up. And so they did make a big investment. As you said, in baseball, they stepped up to keep Tim Corbin a number of times. They stepped up to keep Kevin Stallings. And they did start having much more success on the field. And they did back it up with some investment there. This looks like a cost-cutting measure to me as much as anything else. And as you said, we're in an economic crisis. We're in a pandemic. So that makes some sense. But I would think, at the same time, you have a first-time athletic director, you have an image issue that has been going on for a long time. I would think if there's any way to at least maintain or enhance the communications aspect of the athletic department, it would be an investment, not a cutback. And this looks like a cutback. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I think one important difference in this time and the restructuring from 2003 is that Gordon Gee had been there for a few years, and he knew the landscape of the school, and he'd been at Ohio State. I guess he'd been at West Virginia at that point. I don't remember for sure. But point is, Gordon Gee had some knowledge of how sports worked and how they worked at Vanderbilt. You have a chancellor who literally just took over, and he came from the University of Chicago, where the sports situation is completely unlike what it is at Vanderbilt. So that's another layer of complication to it. Does the new chancellor even know what he's getting into? I don't know. But the interesting thing to me is that he's been tweeting out a lot of pro sports stuff lately on top of everything. So, again, what does all this mean? I don't know. But those are just things maybe that are worth noting.
I think that is the biggest key, and I think that's what could probably reassure a lot of people, because that Gordon Gee, for example, when he came in, you know, he made no bones about it that he thought it was important to have a good athletic program, and he proved over time that he was true to his word, right? That he did really think it was important. He showed up. He was always doing things like that. This new chancellor is still somewhat of a mystery, right? I think that, again, we get back to communications, PR, things like that. I would like to see more there. And obviously there's so much else going on in the world. This is not a good, you know, it's not going to make it easy to do that. But I would have to imagine there's some things you could do to try in the wake of this. Once they get around to saying what it is they're doing here, that will be an important part of it.
Well, and let's argue for a second. Let's say that they have completely good intentions in this, just for argument's sake. They know what they're getting into, because I know the hours that those people work, and if the school thinks it's just going to drop a PR person from Kirkland or somewhere else into the midst of sports, those people over there, and a lot of them become good, dear friends of mine, and I just feel for them today, but they do a lot of stuff. They keep stats. They write press releases. They arrange interviews for us. I don't know if the people that have made this decision have any clue what goes into running an athletic program.
That is a great question.
That's
a great question.
But
yeah, do they know what it is that they're that goes into this? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm very curious. They have to, but I do think there is a scenario where there's some people going, well, we can handle all that part of it, but the sports information, right, the media relations, beyond just communicating with the media locally, the sports media, your image, big time. There's so many levels to this, but just that grind of putting the notes out for all of the sports, let alone football. Or basketball, even you know, the tennis notes, you know, that somebody wants a golfer on. You got a process there. You have a lot of people that you need to do that grind, and that takes a lot of resources. And how much do they understand that at the top when they're making this decision? That's a great point.
Oof. I think we know the answer, unfortunately. Chris, we just wanted you to shed a little bit of light on this story. We know it's still kind of fresh, and as you said, you're still gathering facts and more to this, so we'll let you get to that. Thanks for joining us, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Chris Lee, VandySports.com, kind of a story that got out there this morning that they're abolishing their sports communications department, and it's going to get switched over to the university running it, and some of these people will have the ability to, I guess, reapply, re-interview, which is just ridiculous. I mean, that's embarrassing right there. You want them to reapply and for a job they've already been doing? What?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, tell me why you're
necessary step.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, so there's a lot of good people, got a lot of good folks over there that do really good work that. You know, I'm sorry for the ones that aren't going to have the opportunity to reapply, and that's it for them, because that stinks, especially in these times. Just yet again, another tough story coming out from the campus at Vanderbilt. We will come back third hour. We will start with Greg Wyshynski. We'll talk a little hockey with him to start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.